Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that we are confronted with in our gospel lesson for today is the contrast between flesh and blood and divine revelation, or man's wisdom versus the Word of God. Jesus takes his disciples up to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them a question. He says, "Who do people think that I am?" And they begin to report to him things they've heard. Some people think that Jesus is John the Baptist risen again from the dead. And some people think that Jesus is Elijah the prophet. And some people think that he's Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Now, it's important for you to recognize here that as pious as these designations sound, they are all the results of human imagination and speculation, and they are all spiritual dead ends which lead us nowhere. Jesus then asks the disciples another question. He says, "But you, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Simon Peter answers for the group. And Simon Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter makes a clear confession that Jesus is the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah. And Jesus responds to Simon by saying, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Why? Because flesh and blood, or human wisdom, or human rationality has not revealed this truth to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this truth to you. How? In the incarnation and in the works and in the words of Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. So Jesus pronounces a blessing upon Simon Peter for confessing in accordance with God's word that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. How easy it would have been for the disciples to go along with all of the nowhere opinions of their fellow countrymen, all of the well-intended, well-meaning designations that were invalid, untrue, and useless. All right? They could have gone with the flow, and they didn't. They knew who Jesus was because they were paying attention to his words and his works, and they understood by the grace of God, through the work of God, the Father's message to mankind, Jesus is your Savior and your Lord. So, he goes on. After he blesses Simon for this confession of faith, he says to Peter, "I tell you, you are Peter." Peter means rock, rock. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Peter has lived up to his name, and he has confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and this confession is the rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ is built by Jesus Christ himself. You are not a Christian because you decided to be a Christian. You are a Christian because Jesus sought you, saved you, and gathered you into his holy church. He has built you into his church. You are his, and you have this promise that the church that is founded upon the rock of the confession of Christ as the Son of God and Savior of the world is a church that cannot be overcome by the very gates of hell itself. Hell wants to destroy the holy Christian church. The world wants to destroy the holy Christian church. But as we take our stand upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, and as we continue to confess with Peter and all of the faithful, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," the gates of hell shrink before us and cower, because we are the holy church of Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace, and we are heaven bound. So Jesus tells Peter, "You have lived up to your name by confessing me, and upon this rock, upon the confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church." But he says one more thing about the church. He says that the holy church of Christ holds and uses the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The holy Christian church opens the door of heaven to the penitent and the believing, and it shuts the doors of heaven to the impenitent, the disobedient, and the unbelieving. Right? And so this holy church has authority. But this authority is not recognized by the world. The world holds us to be a laughingstock. The world holds us to be a non-entity. The world holds us to be unimportant in the affairs of men. And yet, no president or king, no power on earth holds the keys of the kingdom of heaven, but the holy church of Jesus Christ, which can open or shut heaven. "Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." All right, so far we've said two things. Number one, that flesh and blood get us nowhere when it comes to the things of God. But God's revelation in his word and in the person and work of Jesus gets us into heaven itself. The Father in the word and the person and work of Jesus discloses to us the way of salvation, the identity of his Son, and the way of life everlasting. And by this confession of faith, the holy Christian church prevails against the gates of hell, and it holds and wields the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, sometime after this, Jesus begins, the Bible says, to tell his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. So he begins to teach his disciples that there are things that must happen if he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are things that must happen. He must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer at the hands of the elders. He must be killed, and he must be raised again on the third day. When the disciples and Christians confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we are also confessing that Christ is Christ, crucified, dead, buried, risen again, and ascended to the right hand of God for our blessing and benefit. You see, without the cross and the resurrection, the gospel isn't gospel at all. All right? And so Jesus, after they have confessed him to be Christ, he begins to teach them what it really means that he is the Christ. He must suffer, he must die, he must rise again on the third day. Now, this does not sit well with Peter. Why? Because just like you and me, Peter, though he has true faith in Christ, he is not immune from picking up things from flesh and blood, picking up stuff from the world and the opinions of men. And he can't see for the life of him how the Messiah would suffer, be killed, and rise again on the third day. That made no sense to Peter. And so Peter began to take Jesus aside and to rebuke Jesus, basically telling Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. This kind of stuff can't happen to you. You're the Christ. Listen to me. Peter has made a terrible mistake. He has committed a terrible sin. So shortly after making the good confession, he listens to his flesh. He listens to that inner man with its own human opinions, instead of listening to the words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And Peter actually begins to oppose the word of Jesus and begins to rebuke Jesus and tell him, you don't know what you're talking about. Nothing like this can happen to you. You're the Christ, the Son of God. What in the world are you talking about? How does Jesus respond to Peter's sin? He says to him, well, it says here, he turned. That is, he turned around and looked square in Peter's face. And he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. You are a stumbling block to me. You see, Peter had just not only disagreed with the word of Jesus, but he had set himself up in opposition to it, and in such ways, he had fallen into the hands of the devil and was being used by the devil to frustrate God's plan of salvation. And so Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me because you are not mindful of the things that be of God. Rather, you are mindful of the things that be of men. We're right back up at the beginning of the account where we saw the distinction between flesh and blood and how useless it is in the things of God and the will of the Father who reveals himself through Jesus, his Son, which lands us in the kingdom of God forever and ever. And so here, Peter has been derailed because he listened to flesh and blood rather than hearing and receiving the word of God. Peter is standing there with his mouth gaping wide open, feeling ashamed and confused. And the disciples are all standing there looking pretty much the same. They're all looking at Jesus, looking at Peter, looking at one another. And Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, if you want to be my disciple, let him deny himself. That is, renounce himself. You are not on the throne. You are not in charge. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. We are to be hearing him. We are to deny ourselves, to deny flesh and blood, to deny human reason and its desire to have mastery over the Word of God in the things of God. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. That means that we must be prepared for the world to hate us and to reject us. Take up your cross. Be willing to suffer for Jesus. And he says, follow me. Follow me. Don't go off on your own. Don't think that you have a better plan. You know who thought he had a better plan? Judas Iscariot. Where did that better plan get him? So, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That is, if you want to hang on to yourself, you want to hang on to the throne of your own life, by that very clinging to yourself, you will lose what you are seeking to hold. And whosoever will lose his life, give it away for my sake, he shall find it. And to truly live as a child of God, to truly live in accordance with the grace of God, is to yield your life to Jesus Christ and lose it so that you may gain it. For he says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So here, we are being told here, Peter made himself a judge over Jesus and the Word, and he earned for himself a stern rebuke and a warning. Therefore, we do not want to make the same mistake that Peter made. We want to ever remain confessing Jesus and confessing that Jesus is not only Jesus the Christ, but Jesus Christ is crucified, dead, buried, risen from the dead, and seated at the right hand of God Almighty, all for our redemption and salvation. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.